So the first reading from Job is on page 529 of your Pew Bibles. It is Job 28, verses 1 to 3, then 12 to 15, and 20 to 28, where wisdom is found. There is a mine for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Mortals put an end to the darkness. They search out the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." The sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. Where then does wisdom come from? And where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, "Only a rumor of it has reached our ears." God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Job chapter 37, verses 14 to 24, and on page 538 of your Pew Bibles. Listen to this, Job. "Stop and consider God's wonders. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang poised, those wonders of him who is perfect in knowledge? You who swelter in your clothes when the land lies hushed under the south wind, can you join him in spreading out the skies hard as a mirror of cast bronze? Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Would any man ask to be swallowed up? Now, no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies, after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, men revere him, for does he not have regard for all the wise in his heart?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning, we're continuing with our exploration of the book of Job. In the first two sessions, we've seen the extent of Job's suffering and his anguish as he cries out, "I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest, but only turmoil." Then we saw his three well-meaning friends offering their advice to him, trying to minister to him, but getting it all wrong. In chapters 28 and 32 to 37, we are given the opportunity to stand back and reflect on what has been happening. Chapter 28 is an uplifting hymn to wisdom, and chapters 32 to 37 introduce us to a new contributor, Elihu, who has not spoken before, and he has things to say about wisdom. So our focus today is to reflect on wisdom and where it is to be found. Chapter 28 reads like a poem, and it first of all covers aspects of human wisdom. In the first part, the author speaks with admiration of the skills of the miner and how far man can go. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Indeed, human skill surpasses that of all birds and animals. We need to remind ourselves that one aspect of human wisdom is, as Eric Heaton puts it, the ability to cope. To cope with the ordinary demands of day-to-day life and our behaviour. To cope with knowing what to do in our work, in our relationships with others. How well do we cope? How well do we think through our daily activities and how we behave towards others? But then the author raises the question, where can true wisdom be found? Where does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? True wisdom does not depend on natural or theoretical knowledge. It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing. The truth is that only God knows the way to wisdom, for he sees everything under the heavens. Elihu is not suggesting that human wisdom is completely worthless, but that it is incomplete without the fear of the Lord. Wisdom is a way of living before God. One becomes competent and expert in one's daily living only if one begins with fellowship with God himself. Turning now to the contribution that Elihu makes to the debate about wisdom and his advice to Job in his appalling situation. Job's other three friends have run out of things to say. Elihu has waited until now to speak in deference to their seniority. In many cultures, it is believed that wisdom comes with age, which in some ways is true. But as it says in verses 8 and 9, it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding. Age and experience do not automatically furnish us with wisdom. Rather, it is our relationship with God which sets us on the right track. In his first speech, Elihu is arguing that God knows best, but he doesn't leave it at that. He's not saying that Job should therefore just stop complaining, because in verse 30 of chapter 33, he explains that God's purpose in suffering is to turn back his soul from the pit, that the light of life may shine on him. He has a far more positive view of suffering than Job's other three friends, for he's not saying that Job needs to suffer to repent his sins, but that God is using Job's suffering to deepen his understanding of life. Up until this point, he is shedding light on Job's situation, but then he sinks back into analysing his predicament and, like the previous three friends, offers advice, coldly saying that Job speaks without knowledge and his words lack insight. He is falling back on human theories and knowledge and losing sight of God. He's somewhat arrogantly setting himself up as an adjudicator. This is useful for us, as it shows that even the best of human wisdom has limitations. The human perspective does not take us very far. How often do we lose sight of God when we are offering advice to others, however well-intentioned? The problem is that his interpretation of God is limited. God's ways are clear to him, he thinks, for according to him, God is predictable and manageable. Everything is under control. But his God is too tidy and too small. One of the key things we learn from the book of Job is that reality is much less clear, manageable, and predictable than we would like to think. True divine wisdom is not just something that we can get if we think hard enough or behave well enough, or if our theological beliefs are coherent, tidy, and clear. For divine wisdom comes by way of the storm and the whirlwind. Or as Frances Young describes in a poem of hers, wisdom is the wild order of things. There is a wildness to the divine ordering of things. How often do we, like Elihu, fall into the trap of making God too tidy and too small? A wise insight which Elihu does offer comes in verse 10 of chapter 35. He describes God as one who gives songs in the night. This can be seen as a phrase of great comfort for all those of us searching for a hand in the darkness, that we can know God in the darkness, in the small hours of the night, in the bleak periods of our lives. In his final speech, he recognised that he has moved away from God and got caught up in his own cold, rational approach. He returns to stating that, yes, God is mighty, but he is also just and merciful. His next profound insight comes in verse 15 of chapter 36. Those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction. God is compassionate in his dealings with us, and through our suffering, he will open our eyes and ears to a new world and a deeper understanding. As Martin Israel says in his book entitled The Pain That Heals, it is one of the fundamental contributions of pain to make people wake up to a deeper quality of existence and to seek evidence for meaning in their lives beyond the immediate sensations that arrest their attention. Then we gain a vivid picture of God in the storm. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. Then the cold chill of winter covers everything. This is a picture of a world in which harsh things happen. Like the world in which Job is struggling, he has felt the force of the storm. He has heard the crashing of the thunder. He has been frozen by the ice. Then things begin to ease up a little. The storm is over, the sky is clear, and the light brightens. The awesome majesty of God is shown. Once again, Elihu has pointed us to God. Through these chapters, we have learnt of the wisdom we can gain through suffering. Job's three friends, in the end, did not have an answer for him. The answer for us all comes not in looking back, but in looking up and forwards. We must look forwards for the divine purpose, not hunt around for causes in the past. Elihu has moved us from a backward-looking, negative understanding of suffering to a forward-looking, redemptive one. There is a pain which heals. We can gain wisdom through suffering. And in all this, God sets us free from our inward-lookingness to behold his glory. The question why, which we often mistakenly ask, why me? why am I suffering, is transformed into the question, for what purpose? And the answer is not in the sins of the past, but in the manifestation of the works of God in the future. So what does all this say to us? It reminds us that there is more to life than we can ever understand with our senses. There is more to wisdom than even the greatest of human skills. There is a different way of looking at everything, and that is from the perspective of God. He sees everything under the heavens, whereas we see only a part. There is more to Job's predicament than he himself will ever know. We need to start afresh to gain knowledge and understanding, not from our experience of misery, like Job, nor from our mystical experience, our understanding of theological tradition, or our inflated common sense, like each of his three friends. For true wisdom comes from God alone. Wisdom which contains an answer for Job can only come from God. Wisdom which contains an answer for us can only come from God. The way out of the turmoil will not be from below, but from above. The starting point for true knowledge of God is God himself. We need to begin then with the fear of the Lord, in communion with him as he chooses to make himself known. We need to recognise that the Lord is very much concerned with the small as well as the big aspects of our human experience. We need to meet the Lord as he comes to us. You never promised we would not go through fire. We would not go through raging waters. We would not go through conflicts and battlefields. But you have promised we will not be burnt. We will not be drowned. We will be victorious. Because you, the Mighty One, are with us and will never let us go. Amen.
Amen.